This morning's scripture reading is John chapter 20. We don't have it in the bulletin, so sorry about that. If you'd like to follow along, it's verses 1 through 9. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. The word of God for the people of God.
We're not flawless. Debbie was starting to take my notes. I said, "I need those notes," with panic in my voice. And I'm a little worried. Debbie in the children's moment was talking about flawlessness. that's a pretty high bar, because I failed also, because Jan had asked me at the beginning of the service if I would mention to everyone that the directories will be available after church. Is that right, Jan? At a table in the lobby area out there. So the directories are in and will be available to everyone. Well, I'd like to continue our celebration of this Easter morning. And what's interesting about today is our celebration of Easter is a moment where we're not looking at the cross. Although the cross dominates our faith and dominates who we are, it's the fact that it's more about the tomb and looking from the inside of the tomb out, as Jesus must have done as he was resurrected. He would have seen those empty crosses. And that's what really Easter is about. And as we study Easter, we know from our Bible that the story of Easter, and as Debbie read, there's a lot of stories relative to what happened that moment when they went to the tomb and it was empty. But we look to the Bible for the stories, for our evidence of a Christ arisen. And that's a little different world than I'm used to. My background is investigations, and whether it's in the FBI and now doing fraud investigations in the private sector, I'm all about evidence. And all the books, this one's about forensic science and all the different schools of evidence that you get to prove that something happened. It has to be the evidence. But what is our evidence in a Christian faith? Our evidence is passed down from those apostles who that morning went to that tomb and saw an empty tomb, and it fulfilled a prophecy from 600 or 700 years prior to that, when one of the greatest prophets, Isaiah, spoke 600 and 700 years ago about what that prophecy is. And I want to share with you, just to set the stage for the rest of the message, a little 2-minute video that sets out a little bit of Isaiah and the prophecy in the Old Testament.
There is an ancient prophecy that spoke of times that were yet to come. Some days before 600 BC, a prophet spoke the words of God to a small, remote nation. The prophet's name was Isaiah, and the nation was Israel. God was pulling back the curtain of time to let the people of Isaiah's day have a glimpse into the future, and to see that fate that would befall all of humankind. Little did Isaiah know that the words which he spoke would not only touch the nation of Israel, but he could never have imagined then the profound effect that those words would have on the entire world. History would be changed forever. He foretold the coming of a servant, one who was despised, rejected, and would become well acquainted with grief. And though his appearance would be nothing that spoke of his strength or greatness, this servant would be strong enough to carry the weight of the weakness and sorrows and sin of every person from the beginning of days until the book was finished. He would be a great healer for all those who suffer, a redeemer for those who had failed and were lost, and a giver of life to those who were dying. This is that prophecy. Isaiah 53:7-12. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Israel knew of this ancient prophecy and waited for their Messiah's coming. Yet hundreds of years later, here he was before them. And just as the ancient prophecy proclaimed, he was rejected and now ready to become well acquainted with suffering. Little did they know that this innocent, humble servant that they were now ready to put on trial was the very one who bare the weight of all their sin and became the only way for them to once again come close to God. Yes, he would be a servant. Yet more than that, this servant was destined to be crowned king over all other kings.
And with that as a backdrop, can you imagine Mary Magdalene and a couple of the other women, the Gospels speak of different stories, whether there was two or three women that went to the tomb after he had been laid in that tomb to anoint Jesus. And when they got to the tomb, it was empty. Nobody was there. Can you imagine what that feeling might have been like? That individual that Isaiah prophesied, the Messiah, the Son of God, the person they knew to be God's Son, had not been treated appropriately in their eyes, and they were going to do the little bit they could. They were going to go to that tomb with the oils and the spices, and they were going to prepare his body properly because they felt that was the least that they could do. And when they got there, it was totally empty. And what happened? They peered in, and then two angels appeared to them and said, "Go tell the disciples. Go tell them he's not here." So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples, and Peter and John said, "What? The tomb's empty. Something's happened. He's gone." And the scripture says in both Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that they ran. And when they got to the tomb, the first one there, I can't remember if it was Peter or John, I think it was Peter, he gets there, but he's afraid to go in. John comes up behind him and says, "Let's go in." And they peer in, and what do they see? They see the cloth, but no Jesus, no body, nothing there. And in addition, they see some of the cloth has been clearly packaged in a way that caught their attention. And you had to have the same feeling that Mary had in some ways. They didn't know what had happened. They knew Jesus had talked to them about this. They knew that this was the end that he had talked about. But they still were in a certain amount of disbelief, and they left. And what happened next was Mary comes back and she's standing there. And who appears but a vision? And unbeknownst to her, it was Jesus. And she says to the man, what's happened to him? Where did you take him? She confused him for a gardener. She thought this was the gardener of the area of the grounds. And she thought for sure he had taken Jesus. And he said to Mary, it's me. And she was overwhelmed with emotion when she realized it was Jesus. In the meantime, Peter and John had gone back. And they were telling the rest of the disciples what had happened and what they saw. And they holed up in a room, an upper room. They locked themselves in to protect themselves because they really didn't know what was going on. And Jesus appeared to them. And the first thing he did with them is what really Jesus offers to each and every one of us through his resurrection. He said to them, peace be with you. He knew they were full of anxiousness and anxiety. They didn't know what to think. So he knew in that first moment he had to give them comfort. And that's what grace provides each and every one of us, that the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit that he left behind when he ultimately ascended to heaven. But oftentimes, emptiness can create an anxiety, just like it did in Mary and those disciples. And we have emptiness in our everyday life, and it can be aggravating. You could come up with hundreds of examples, but I just grabbed a few. You might have an empty feeling after a winter storm watch. How many of you have ever gone to Kroger's, and you got there a little late after this winter's warning, and there's going to be snow 10 feet deep, you better get out and get all your provisions in, and you go to Kroger's, and the shelves are empty. There is nothing left because everybody beat you there. Or maybe you've snuck a couple of Oreo cookies right before you go to bed, and you think, you know what goes great with Oreo cookies? A glass of milk. So you go to the fridge, you open the door, and what's in there? Somebody put an empty bottle of milk in the fridge. That emptiness is aggravating and disconcerting. Now, my wife was a little unsure about this next emptiness. She said, you're not going to talk about that. But that's an aggravating feeling. It's empty, and you go, ugh. But life can create more than just those aggravations about emptiness. And it's interesting. I don't know if you guys can see this. I'm going off script here a little bit. But there is a crazy cardinal over here to my left. You guys can probably see him. You talk about anxiety and anxiousness. Yesterday, when I got the call Thursday night or Friday, Jim, do you have a message that you could deliver on Easter? Larry is sick and is not going to be able to be there. I said, no, but I'll try to put one together. So I came out, worked on it Friday night and yesterday, and I came out here to practice and get the AV all hooked up, and we had some issues. But nonetheless, when I arrived here, you talk about anxiety, it was an empty church, 100% empty, so I thought. Get here about 9:30, I open the door, and as I open the door, I hear noises in here. I hear them in the back Sunday school room, I hear them in this room, I hear them in the kitchen, I hear them in the cross room. And I thought, uh-oh, this place isn't empty. That same kind of feeling. I backed out, walked around the church, peered in the windows, yanking on all the doors, trying to figure out, is somebody else here? And there was no cars in the lot, there was no indication of anybody else here. So I thought, well, Jim, you're hearing things. So I went in a second time, and the noises started again. And I thought, there's somebody in there. So I backed out to my truck for a few minutes trying to figure out what I was going to do next. And then I said, well, I'm going to go in. And I went in, and just as I made it to the cross room, there were a lot of sounds in the cross room. But just as soon as I made it to the doorway, they stopped. And they started in the kitchen. I walked to the kitchen. They stopped, and they started in the cross room. And then I was there, and they started in the hallway where Greg is right now. And I thought, what the world is on? And then all of a sudden, I saw these crazy birds. In the silence of this empty church, these cardinals were attacking, multiple cardinals were attacking all of the windows. So the noise I heard was the cardinals hitting. And as I came into the room, it scared them off, and they moved to another glass to fight. But in that emptiness, it definitely created anxiety. But There's tremendous anxieties that we have in life, and they can be created by all the headlines that we see every day. Maybe deep, maybe they're personal. It could be headlines in our local communities. It can be a situation where maybe you're dealing with a loss of a loved one, and it leaves a hole, that emptiness, that empty feeling that you have as a result of that. There's a variety of things that bring us emptiness in our lives, whether it's loss of a loved one, a medical diagnosis, having no one to turn to in a time of need. Can you imagine someone that doesn't have Christ in their life, and when they're delivered, whatever message it might be that leaves them feeling empty and they have no one to go to, that creates tremendous anxiety because of that empty feeling they have inside. So Jesus knew that. And he knew that as he was removed from that tomb and resurrected, that he had to provide the apostles, the disciples, so that we could understand thousands of years later how important believing is. And you'll remember the stories of his telling the disciples, "I've been resurrected, this is me." Thomas wasn't there at the first meeting. And then there's a later meeting of the disciples, and Thomas is there, and Jesus appears. Doors were locked, but he appears. And Thomas is doubting. And Jesus says, "Put your hand in the wound in my side. Put your hand in the scars of my hands." And what did Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." And Jesus responded to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. Thousands of years ago, Jesus was speaking to us through Thomas, knowing that someday we would have to rely upon the words in this book, not the forensic book, the words of those disciples that tell us the story of what happened on that resurrection morning. And it's not about the empty tomb. It's about the fact that we can live.
On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ arise, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sowed in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
We'll all have a new home.
Glory, glory,
where the redeemed
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Just raised in the likeness
in
of
His likeness,
live
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Grace all bursting, saints all shouting, heavenly beauty all around. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory,
where the redeemed
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Just raised in the likeness
in
of
His likeness,
to live
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. When old Gabriel blows his trumpet and we'll walk the streets of gold,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. No more pain, no worry and sorrow in this wicked world below.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
We'll all have a new home.
Glory, glory,
where the redeemed
ever stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, praise
in
the likeness
in
of
His likeness,
to live
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord,
what it's all about. We each will have a new life because Jesus defeated death As Greg said, it's not about darkness, it's about the light. And as you leave here today and as you celebrate this Easter with your family, with your friends, remember that each of us has the Holy Spirit within us, that through the resurrection, Jesus left that for each of us. It's there. It's in each one of our hearts. Some of us listen to it more than others. I know I need to listen a lot more. But it's there. In those moments of anxiousness, in those moments when you feel like you're the only one for whatever reason, know that there's always someone you can turn to. There's always someone who has an ear. And through Jesus Christ, our Lord is available to each and every one of us, no matter how much the joy and celebration you have in your life, or how deep that valley is when you wonder, how in the world am I ever going to get out of that valley? Because he wraps his arms around each and every person. He brought them into this world. He loves unconditionally each and every one of us. And he asks us to love others as he does. And when you look to Jesus and when you look to the Lord for guidance, he will also guide you and direct you into a purpose. So if some of your emptiness is wondering, what should I be doing with my life? Whether you're a young person or whether you're a not so young person. God's there for you at any point. We just have to turn to him and listen for him. And then ultimately, as Debbie said with the children's moment, for each and every one of us who believes, there's life eternal available to each and every one of us. In a world of heaven, of that flawlessness that Debbie talked about, as they talked about in that song, the roads of gold that Gabriel spoke of, it's available. We don't know. We can't imagine what it might be like, where there isn't pain and suffering and anxiety and emptiness, but where God is available for each and every one of us because of what we celebrate today, that Christ is risen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we can't thank you enough for the greatest gift of all that you provided to each and every one of us, your Son. And on this glorious day, we celebrate his resurrection and the message that he delivered to each and every one of us about your grace, your glory, and the peace that you can bring so that our lives are not empty, so that it's not about an empty cross or an empty tomb, but that it's a full life and the sacrifices your Son made for each and every one of us. We pray that he is risen, and we thank you for all the blessings. May we go out and spread them as your disciples. In your name we pray. Amen.